you for being in the Lord's house this morning. Turn, if you will, this morning in your Bible. Philippians chapter 3. Might as well tell you what it is, huh? Philippians chapter 3. Starting with verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, today, God, we open up your word and we read it, and we understand, Lord, that if the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to our hearts, we will not understand what you'd have for us to understand here today. But God, we ask you to move into our hearts, stir our hearts, open our eyes of understanding where we might be enlightened. And God, let us make the decisions that you give us to do today. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Man, this is Father's Day. It's always good to come to these special days and remember our fathers. We were asked this morning in our Bible study class about our fathers. I had a great Christian father, a father that loved his family, a father that led his family. We were in church. We did things together. I guess out of all the examples, he was a Christ-like example to each one of his boys. And I just thank God for the father that he gave me here on earth. Now, my challenge today to the fathers here today and to all of you as Christians, we need to learn to grow in Christ Jesus. It's a sad commentary in our lives and in America today, in our characters, that we lose the joy, we lose the influence of a Christian witness because we as Christians never grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul says to the Philippians, he says in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of this resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. In Paul's life, he lived the Christian life. He wanted to influence others for Christ in his life. I pray today that if you're a father here, that that might be your goal, that you might live a Christian life, that you might influence your children. I love that song, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. That's my goal. That's my desire. To live on higher ground. To grow as a Christian life. You know, you never cease to grow as a Christian. You can always learn something. You can always grow. Every time you read your Bible, every time you study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, if you'll ask the Holy Spirit who resides in you if you're born again, ask Him to show you. And you know, as you read and study, He just simply turns on that light for you to understand, for you to grow. But if we're going to grow as Christians, listen, we must do some things. One, we must make a decision in our life. We must make a decision like Paul made that decision. No one decides to become a better Christian. No one decides to grow stronger in his life until first they purpose in their heart to grow in their Christian life, to get into the Word of God, to study the Word of God. Now, Paul, he was writing this in a prison cell, and here's what he wanted to do: to know Christ, to know Him better every day, to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, to know Christ in the fellowship of His sufferings. He said, I want to know Christ, and I want to be made conformable unto His death. Isn't that a great desire in our life? A decision to know Christ here in a prison cell? He might have been in a prison cell, folks, but he was free in Christ Jesus. He lived his life for Christ Jesus. He wanted to become more and more like Christ Jesus. He wanted to do God's will in his life. I praise God that that ought to be our desire this morning as a husband, as a father. I want to leave an inheritance that my children might know Jesus Christ. If I must be in prison, he says, then my goal in prison is to be like Jesus. If I must be in prison, he says, I want to know the power of God in my life. If I must be in prison, I want to be able to suffer like Christ suffered. If I must be in prison, I want to die like Jesus Christ. One of the greatest things, I've watched it time after time, especially when a father is toting around that grandchild or he's walking along beside his boy and you come up to him or someone comes up to him and says, man, that's a good-looking boy or girl there. There, you can tell he's a chip off the old block. That father would grin from eye to eye. That smile will be out there. They want that child to be like them. Well, that child will be like you. He'll grow up doing the things you're doing. He'll grow up saying the things you're saying. He'll grow up reading the things that you read and watching the things that you watch. Fathers, what are you living for today? What are you living for today? Do we live for pleasure? If we live for pleasure, our children will live for pleasure. Are we living for money and financial status today, or power? If we do, our children will live for those same things. Are we living for self and what we can get out? Our children will follow that example. But if we're also living for Christ, they will also live for Christ. They will look to Christ. You know, I want my child, I want my children to be just like me. I want them to know Christ. I want them to serve Christ. Man, it bothers me when they don't serve Christ. It's a great heartbreak. What are you living for? What are you living for in your Christian life? You see, I believe pleasure, and I believe money. I believe our children, our family, all have their place. But it all has to stem around Jesus Christ. Jesus says in the Word of God, seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. These things will be added unto you. Seek first the kingdom of God. We need to make the main thing, don't we? I was thinking about this morning as we come to Bible study. Bible study is an important thing in our lives. That's where we learn to grow as a Christian. That's where we actually get with a people or our age, or maybe not our age. Some of them are and some of them aren't today. But you know what? It doesn't matter. We can have fellowship with other believers studying the Word of God, gleaming from the Word of God, those things that are there. And I thought, you know, today ought to be a day that we can just join together in the Word of God and study the Word of God in our lives. I think of one of the young men that I've been talking about, or we talked about this morning, Joshua. Joshua was leading the children. He took over after Moses, and he was leading the children into the promised land, and they had a lot of battles going on. But Joshua led the people. He led them with integrity. If I can say one thing about my father, he had integrity. He was an honest guy. He didn't talk about people, he helped people. And I think that's where we ought to be in our life. We ought to love people. We ought to do for people. Joshua was that leader that God chose for the children. And when he comes to the end of the chapter, he said, you know what? We need to make a decision. You have a decision to make as a group of people. But as for me and my house, he says, we will serve the Lord. I think every man here today, you need to make that decision. Some of you are young men, you've got children. I always like to see all these kids. I think I counted 23 down here this morning. I was thinking about that. 23 little children. Now listen, mothers and fathers, you've got to make a decision. These children will continue to come to church if you will come to church. I see it so many times, mothers and fathers, they get out of church and they pull their children out of church, and then their kids grow up out of church, so to speak, and then they come back to church when they're teenagers. The parents come back when their children are teenagers, and they don't want to no longer come to church. Why? You pull them out of church in some of the most teachable years of their life. When they're this age, they are forming their habits in their mind of what life is about and what God is about, and we need to teach them at a young age. So you decide this morning as a father, I'm going to be in church with my children. Man, that's one of the greatest inheritances. You know, they won't care about your money or anything else. When they come to their age and their children, they need an inheritance of Jesus Christ. You know, I never asked my father, how much money you got, Dad? I never asked him that because it didn't matter. It didn't matter to me how much money he had. I was more concerned about the love that he had towards us. That was worth more than any amount of money he could have left us. You see, that's the main thing in life. And we start with a decision like Paul, I want to know Christ. As a parent today, do you know Christ? Men, do you know Christ? I know you stood up a while ago, and most of you are faithful to church, and you're faithful to your families, but I don't know about every one of you. But do you know Christ? You must make that decision today. And then there's a direction to follow. You see, you know, decisions are not enough. There has to be a plan of action in our decision. You know, you can't stop living in the world until you decide that you're going to get the world out of you. You know, you can't commit your life to Christ and keep going to the same old places and doing the same old things. When you rededicate your life and when you make a commitment to God to live that Christian life, then you must follow up on that plan. And that plan means that you need to be in God's church. You need to be in God's Word. And we need to remember some things. Paul never forgot his conversion experience. He remembered it. I don't know about you, but I remember my conversion experience. I don't know exactly the time. I don't know exactly the date. I always said it was on Friday. I just like Friday, I guess. But it may not have been. But you know what? I can remember where I was. I was on the fourth pew of Eastside Baptist Church in Rusk, Texas, when the evangelist spoke. I know where he was from. He was from England because he had a foreign accent, and he didn't speak real English. It was all messed up, you know. Boy, he spoke the Word of God, and I understood the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit began moving in my heart, and the Holy Spirit been telling me, you need to get saved. You've been in church way too long. You need to do something in your life. And I was just holding on to the same old things and doing the same old thing. But you know what? When God saved me, I was a different person. I was had a different plan. God's plan was in my life. Paul was out there walking a murderer's row when God reached down and grabbed him up and kept him from doing the awful things he was doing. And he never forgot the conversion experience. He never forgot the price that was paid for his conversion. The Bible says Jesus Christ suffered and he died for all. We need to remember that. Christ died for all. And let me tell you something. That should motivate you to live for Christ. I know we don't always feel like doing this or doing that. But when I stop and think about the direction I was headed and what Christ has done for me in my life, man, it makes me want to share Jesus Christ with somebody. It makes me want to live for Christ day after day. Remember your conversion and what it cost. It cost Jesus Christ his life. Remember the grace that it took to save you. You didn't search for him. God was looking for you. You know, I'm glad he didn't give up on me. I wasn't really looking for God that day. But let me tell you something. Through the power of the Word of God, his Spirit was piercing my heart. His Word was there. You know, the Bible says he has chosen us. Man, I'm glad God chose me that day. I'm glad God, through his grace and infinite mercy, spoke to my heart that day. And let me tell you something. I believe with all my heart God is here in this room today, and he's speaking to you. He's speaking to some of you fathers. He's speaking to some of you mothers. He's speaking to some of you today and telling you, you need to get into the Word of God. You need to make up your mind about serving God and serve him faithfully. Remember, it cost him his life for you. The grace and the cost of salvation ought to inspire us to grow and fill our hearts with a desire to serve Jesus Christ. It recalls me of the gratitude that we have. We ought to come here this morning just to lift Christ up and to praise his name. Glory to God in the highest. When the people shouted, I wanted to say this morning when they were shouting, I figured they must have shouted, the Lord mighty and strong. And those walls fell down. I'm on the heavenly road strictly because of the grace of God, because of his Holy Spirit. Not because I'm good or I'm a preacher. It's simply because of the grace of God who drew me to salvation, who drew me to the cross where Jesus reached down and laid hold of me that day. All the grace and the cost of salvation also fills us with assurance. Folks, I know one thing. I'm saved. I'm saved. I may not always look like it. I may not always act like it, but let me tell you, it's his work, it's not ours. What he does can't be undone. He saved me, and he will keep me until the day that he calls me home. And if God has saved you this morning, you're still saved. You can't lose that salvation. The Bible says, now unto him who is able to keep that which we've committed, or to keep us from falling, may present you faultless, may present you blameless before him on that great day. Man, I tell you what, God is able to keep me from falling. God is able to hold on to me. I don't have to say, oh Lord, I'm holding on with all I've got. No, I just got to live for Him. Live for Him day by day. Paul also remembered his call. His call into the ministry. He says, for which I was laid hold of. Let me tell you something. That's a purpose. God's got a purpose for your life. Think about it. God's got a purpose for your life. Have you ever wondered what that purpose is? I think if you look at the Word of God, you'll study the Word of God, you'll find out what that purpose is. And the goal of his life. He said, I haven't perfected or I haven't attained it yet. I'm not perfect yet. But the purpose is to the high calling of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I haven't attained it. I don't know if I'll ever attain it until I die. Back in verse 10, he spoke of knowing him and the power of his sufferings. What was God's call for his life? I believe he told him. He made it clear the day he was saved in Acts 9, 14 through 16. He says, Paul, I've called you to be a vessel chosen to bear my name before the Gentiles. I believe God has called each man here and each woman to be a vessel of honor, a vessel that's pure, a vessel that's clean, a vessel to the people. He's told us in the Word of God, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. I believe with all my heart that's what we're chosen for. I've got somebody out there to talk to, or I wouldn't be here today. I've got somebody each Sunday to preach to, or I wouldn't be here today. You see, God doesn't waste our lives. He's got a purpose for you. I don't know what it is. Maybe today you get out of here and you're driving down the road and you see somebody there that God leads you to help them along the way and you're able to share Jesus Christ with them. They come to know Jesus Christ. Who knows? You may go from here to go to a restaurant and you sit down and that little waiter comes over and says, can I help you? And you say, well, let me tell you something. I'm fixing to pray for my food in a moment. Have you got something on your heart that you need to pray for, that I can pray for you? They may say, well, yes, you know, I really do. That may be what you're here for. I don't know, but we ought to look for opportunities in our life. Paul, I've chosen you to bear my name before the Gentiles, and I'll show you how much you must suffer for my name's sake. Fathers, our goal should be to show Christ in our lives. Every one of us shows something. When you come into contact with somebody, when you leave somebody, what does your life show them? What have you left them with? What kind of statement have you made with your life? Share Christ with others. Not only Paul remembered his conversion and his call, he said, there's something I need to forget. There's some things I need to forget. What do we need to forget in life? Well, I think we need to forget our sorrows. Forget our sorrows. You know, every person in here, either you're going to be hurt or life has already hurt you. Life is not easy, is it? No, once you're saved, some people think, well, you Christians got it made. You're saved. Life ought to be great for you, but it's not that way, is it? When you're saved, life just doesn't get easy. If you read about the disciples, they didn't have it easy. These preachers that tell you all you have to do is name it and claim it and smile, everything's going to be all right. Well, they really don't know the Christian life, because let me tell you something. Life is hard. And sometimes we're hurt by life. Sometimes we're hurt by others. Sometimes we're hurt by the grave. You know what I mean? went to a wedding the other night. Preacher was my brother's dad-in-law. He was preaching for his grandson, his wedding. I got the call Friday. Booney, would you come and bring your suit or coat in case R.S. cannot make it through the service? You see, R.S.'s wife died less than a year ago. He's a preacher, but life's tough. Life is tough. You know, there's an old saying, sad but true. It says, at funerals, it is the survivor that dies. If you've lost your mate, I'm praying for you. I know, it's tough, isn't it? It's the survivor sometimes that dies. But let me tell you something. God loves you. He gave His Son for you. Maybe He's called your loved one home, and we know that they're with Him now. We ought to rejoice in that fact. Their suffering's over. And you'll see them again one day, according to the Word of God. I believe that with all my heart. If I didn't believe it, folks, I wouldn't be up here preaching it. But I believe with all my heart, O.R.S. is going to see his wife again one day. They kind of like Bill. They had about 7 or 8 kids. You know, he had, him and his wife was bearing children when their grandkids or their kids was bearing children. But now she's gone. It's hard on him. Life is full of hurts. And Paul says, you know what? We've got to forget about the sorrows and go on. To reach that goal, I must lay those sorrows behind me. Then he says, we must forget our sins. You see, dead weight of the sins past will drag you down, fathers, will drag you down, mothers. Remorse drags many people down. And the old devil, he will continue to throw that guilt at you. But lay it aside. Forget about it. God says, if we confess our sin, He will forgive us. That means it will not be added to our account. It's gone. You don't have to worry about it anymore. The old devil might bring it up, but you know what? It's gone. Paul, man, let me tell you something. He had blood money. He had blood on his hands. He had persecuted the Christians. He could have drugged that with him his whole life, but he said, no, I must forget the past and reach the lost for Jesus Christ. He's called me to be a vessel. What you have done is done. Lay it aside. Give it to Jesus Christ. He will forgive you and move on. Maybe you're here this morning and that is keeping you from doing what you need to do. Forget it. Make that goal in your life. Make that decision in your life that I am going to serve Christ with my life. I've got the purpose for Christ in my life. You see, I believe Paul's dedication to God grew out of his awful past. I believe it grew out of his awful. He wouldn't waste a moment of time worrying about the past, but he would use all of his precious time that he had left to make up for it by serving God. And I think we need to do that. Forget the past and make up by it by serving God with all our lives. Now let me tell you something. Does this mean that you don't care about the past? No. Does this mean you don't care about your loved ones? No. Man, I loved my father. I love my brother. They're all gone. They lit candles the other night at that wedding in memory of those family members that gone on. I had three, four that have gone on. I still love my brother. I still miss him. But it's not going to slow me down. It's all right to miss them. It's all right. It's all right to think about them. But why, what you have here, what time you have left, serve it for God. In gratitude for what He's done for your life. And then we need to forget about the slights. We cannot press on and remember the wrongs other people have done us. You know, I've been done wrong by just about everybody at one time or the other, seems like. You got to forget about that. A preacher is going to be hurt more than anybody else, I'll guarantee you. Because I love you. I love each one of you. And then something you may do may hurt me. You don't know how bad it hurts to watch someone you love drop out of church. But did I let that hold me down? No, I can't. I can't do that because God hasn't called me to worry about all the past or being hurt by someone else. You've got to move on, and God will help you through those times. And let me tell you something. There's no shortcuts. You've got to forget about the shortcuts in life. Paul says, I press on. In other words, I'm moving forward in my Christian life. Yes, it's an uphill battle. Let me tell you something. It's a daily warfare every day. You've got to decide, I'm going to move forward. There's no shortcuts in prayer life. There's no shortcuts in reading the Bible. There's no shortcuts in a fight with the enemy. He says, I fight. I run. I keep my body under subjection. And he says, let us labor and let us lay aside all those weights of sin. Folks, if we're going to be Christ-like, then you'll have to fight harder every day that you live. Every day. It's not going to be easy. You try to have a prayer life and, man, the old devil interferes. You try to have a daily Bible study and, man, the devil interferes. You try to be at church and somebody hurts your feelings. You see? It's a fight. Every day. You have to fight for the courage just to go on. Young people, you got to fight at school. I'm not talking about getting there in fist fight. But let me tell you something. If you're going to live the Christian life at school, you're going to have to be different. That's all it is. You've got to be different. Oh, they're going to laugh at you. You know, I grew up in school. I grew up knowing what it was to be called a Christian nut. I knew what it was not to be invited to parties. If you live for Christ, you're going to have to be different. But you've got just to forget about that. And you've got to fight daily just to keep the faith. Like old Job, when life crashes in on your life, you've got to say, I know my Redeemer lives, and I'm going to be with Him. Perfection is not our attainment. Did you hear that? Perfection is not our attainment, it is our aim. I'm reaching for that goal. So fathers, mothers, children, our prayer today. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell on where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I've found. My Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Isn't that your prayer? Isn't that your prayer this morning? If it is, would you come to the point this morning to make a decision? God, I'm going to let you have my life. I want to give you control of my life. I want to move upward. I want to go forward in my Christian growth. I'll press, and I'll press for the forward, upward way. Would you do that, fathers? Would you lead your family to go upward, to grow in the Christian life? If so, I'm going to give an invitation in just a moment. If you want to make a decision for Christ, you've never trusted Christ, well, that's the first decision you need to make that. By faith, simply say, I believe the Word of God. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I'm a sinner, and I need to be saved, and I'm coming. Simply trusting Christ as my Lord and Savior. Let me tell you something. You're not going to be perfect, but you want Christ more than anything in your life. And this morning, you're going to say, I want to get right with God. I want to be saved. I want Jesus Christ in my life. I want a goal to reach for heaven. Would you come this morning simply trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior? Maybe you're here and you've already trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, but your goal is to grow in the Christian life, and you haven't grown in the Christian life like you should. Would you come this morning simply saying, this morning, I'm rededicating my life to make a decision. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Nothing's going to get in the way of that. Nothing's going to get in the way of that. I really mean it. I'm going to commit myself to Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you're looking for a church home, and this is the place God has led you. Would you come? Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this church. And Lord, today, would you do an awesome work in our life? Let us commit ourselves to you. Let us be the fathers, husbands that we need to be. And God, we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I'm going to